From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. A bit later in the program, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear from our Director of Agricultural Programming, his name, of course, Dave Dickey. He and I would like you to dial this number right now and all the way through this next half hour, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support for agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio, after all, for the farming world. And you're part of the farming world and helping to pay for this program. At least that's what we're hoping. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Along the way today, we'll hear from meteorologist Pete Levitt, and Lisa Braltz will be by with another edition of In My Backyard on this Thursday afternoon Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Either way, the numbers settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures were lower. December contract in the soft red winter wheat at $6.68¾ on a Thursday, down 14¼. March at $7.05¾, 14 lower. May 7.24½, down 14¾. July, or the harvest month, 14½ lower at 7.34¾. Hard red in Kansas City down as well, down 13½ cents, and the nearby at 7.16½. December corn futures back in Chicago from the CME, 5.64¼, down 9¼. The March at 5.75¾, 9¾ lower. May corn at 5.81½ a bushel, down 9¾. In July, $5.84, down 9¾. December contract at 5.22¾, 9½ cents lower. November beans at 12.01½, down 10½. January at 12.13, down 10¾. The March at 12.21, down 11¼. And the May contract at $12.24½, down 10¾. November beans next year, 10¼ lower at $11.58¼. December bean meal down $4.40 at $3.33.40. December oil at $48.24, down 23. Mercantile exchange numbers, October live cattle at 101.52½, up 25. Dece at 101.25, down 37½. And November feeders at 111.65, up $1.35. December lean hogs at 69.32½, 60 cents higher on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $80.60, down $1.94. Ethanol at 2.22¼, a penny and 7 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 2.21¾, down 3¾. And the gold futures at $1,324.70, down $18.60. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 7 points higher, just about 8 points higher at 11,116. And the dollar at 77.41 is up 0.24. Have you dialed this number yet today? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have. If you have or haven't, why don't you do it now again? 217-244-9455. We're in the middle of the very first day of our fall pledge drive. We're looking to raise $175,000. Some of that in support, of course, of agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. This is quick, it's simple, and it's easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can call us at 244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Just hit that big red button. Dave Dickey is here. He's the Director of Ag Programming and has some good reasons for you to make those phone calls. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Todd. You know, we have what I call a bodacious challenge underway. We want to hear from 200 people in support of agricultural programming during this pledge drive. It ends on Monday night. And when we do, we'll receive $2,000 from a number of our agribusiness partners who value this service, including Risk Management Commodities, AgriGold Hybrids, Global Commodity Analytics, Bates Commodities, and Farm Credit Services. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or go online and pledge at willpledge.org. It's a secure line. Be sure to click the little box that's marked Agriculture.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. If you haven't dialed the number yet, with your pledge of financial support for our agricultural programming, please consider the $120 level. We'd really like you to do that. We're on our way to $175,000, but we need your help, and we need it now. 217-244-9455, one of the people that's here each and every week to help you and to help us provide some really important information to you about the marketplace is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Yeah, good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm getting along just fine.
Well, this marketplace has been volatile. We have up days, down days, and up days again, and another one down. What do you make of it all?
Well, it's definitely, when you're playing around with $5.50-type corn and $12-type beans, it's naturally going to be a little more volatile than what we were kind of playing around with this summer when we were down around the $4, $4.25 area, and $9 beans. So the whole idea that we're at the higher prices is just going to make the market swings probably a little greater than what we kind of got used to during the spring and summer months. Chart action, I think, is still generally positive toward the market, trying to attain some higher levels. I think today's weakness, there's no doubt about it. The beans, since we did trade a little higher during the electronic trade and closed lower, has a little hook reversal to the downside on the chart. So that's, you know, could be signaling that we're just going to spend a little more consolidation. I think we need to get some confirmation, though, of that over the next day or two. But, you know, chart action, I think the first target upside objective I had was 1192. We exceeded that yesterday. Now the next target, if you kind of want to use the gap area on soybeans that was left after the October report as a measuring gap off of the 1042 low, you can begin to talk about 1244. So I think a lot of chart people, we've been to 1225. I think, you know, that 1244 is one they're going to be talking about. The one a little higher yet is up there around 1292. That's kind of a swing method that I use, swinging it off of that early June low. This corrective phase that we had here during September between 1144 down to 1042, if you use the midpoint of that is around 1093, and you swing that off of that early June low about 886, you can maybe get as high as 1292. So I think you probably have a lot of technicians talking about that type of number here over the next few weeks.
Can you give me the same kind of indicators in the corn, please?
The corn, let me take a look here if I can find my corn chart here. Here it is.
I'll tell you what. You find your corn chart.
I found it. Okay.
Okay, and I've got a number for guys to call anyway. It's 217-244-9455. You're going to call in with your pledge of financial support. You've got your corn chart in front of you. What does it say?
Corn chart, I think what was important, and we didn't necessarily get it today, some follow through, but the break that we had off of the high that we posted here at 588, which was October 13th, slid down here to as low as 542. That was, I think, on Tuesday. What's interesting about this, that was basically halfway into that chart gap that we had. 541 was a halfway point. So if people were using this chart gap that we left after October report as a measuring gap for the next move to the higher level, they kind of got their wishes, because the 50% level or the midpoint of that gap basically held. Then we came back with a strong up day yesterday. Now, today's a little disappointing, but when you're in a generally a bull market, Tuesdays and Thursdays are kind of consolidation days, and Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are more of your have a stronger tendency to be more trendy days, and it'd be the opposite in a bear market, Todd.
And can you give me a swing indicators for corn to the upside?
Well, I think the target here is we need to take out this 588 level. I think that opens up a quick move then to 606. The Bicker swing objective off of this corrective measure that we had during September between 528 and 454, the midpoint of that is 491. If you swing that off of the June low of 343, you begin to talk about a number up there around 638. And you begin to, you know, I think you've heard of probably a lot of chatter in that 635 to 650 area. That's how a lot of your technicians are coming up with that number. If you kind of want to use the consolidation phase off of this 588 high and this 542 low that we had, use that as a midpoint of a move swung off of the early October low of 454. You can begin to talk about something up around 676 as an upside. And that kind of fits in line with a channel doubling. Corn futures have been in a nice uptrending channel basically since late June. After the report, we broke out of that channel to the upside. So you kind of double that channel. That also suggests if we would go on up to the upper end of that new double channel, you begin to talk about something up into this 660 to 670, depending upon what the timing is.
Okay, from your vantage point there in ADM, you can look out across the globe and see supply and demand both in particular. Do the fundamentals suggest that these kind of higher levels for corn and soybeans are possible?
My guess is they are. I don't think we totally know for sure, but there isn't much of an indication at this point that our supplies are being rationed. Naturally, USA gave us a balance sheet that looked balanced. Many in the trade don't believe it's balanced yet. Many in the trade feel that we have to do some rationing in order to get to USDA's balance sheet. So there is reason to think that this corn market can go higher. The crop is real short. I mean, you don't have to go very far throughout the Corn Belt and talk to managers, elevator managers of all varieties would indicate that some of their corn take 20, 30, 40% down from a year ago. So you do have a much smaller supply out there than what anybody was expecting. And I don't see the end users having much length. I think the smaller than expected corn plantings number that came out in late June was a shell shock to them. The market went higher, started trending higher, and I think they could never bring themselves to the table to get any kind of length in this market because you've had so many consulting firms and market analyst firms that just kept spinning the bearish spin all along in here. So end users didn't have much length. Farmers, I think, as a group, are way sold more than what they had planned to sell. I think in some instances they could be as high as 80% sold on this crop. Again, I think that goes back to market advisory services telling farmers to sell it at $4 and four and a quarter, and then all of a sudden they come in with a smaller crop, so they're 50% sold, all of a sudden went to 80 real quick. So farmers are sold at much lower levels at a higher percentage, and end users don't have the coverage. So I think that is a perfect combination for higher prices.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for all the work you do for us here at Illinois Public Media.
Well, I sure enjoy working with WLL all these years. It goes back more years than I want to really remember.
A long way.
But ADM is a big supporter of WLL programming. And for those listeners that do listen to my commentary, over the time here with ADM, ADM donates, gives me that opportunity to share information with you. And we would all want to encourage our listening audience to donate and show their appreciation to what WLL does and their ag programming, because it is definitely a place to get a lot of good information. And I'm hopeful that the information that that I supply the listening audience, that they're able to capitalize on that and do a better job in their marketing.
I'm sure they are. Dan, thanks so much, and you have a great afternoon now.
Very well.
Okay, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Some very kind words from Dan. If you agree with him, I hope you do, that the service provided by Dave Dickey, myself, Illinois Public Media, the programming content that you get from us either on the radio stations or on the web is important. You can help us out right now. We're on our way to $175,000 over about 4 or 5 days, and we do need your help. Dial this number, 217-244-9455. Please don't wait. You should do it right now. Pick up the phone, 217-244-9455, or if you're listening to this as a podcast, willpledge.org, W-I-L-L, pledge.org, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Dave and I like to think of the $120 level. Dave, and when they call in or pledge their support, and they need to say agriculture one way or the other when they do that.
Yeah, that would be grand.
Yeah, that helps us out. That helps us out. We've got a couple of things that are really cool. There's another brand new, really cool hat, and there's a steel mug, too, at $120.
Yeah, it's a 16-ounce steel mug. It looks a little bit like a bowling pin. But the neat thing about it is, for this type of mug, it's practically leak-proof. I've turned it over, and I've shook the heck out of it, and I couldn't get the thing to leak. So that's a grand thing. $120 contribution, 217-244-9455. Hey, Todd, do you know what the rocket fuel for corn is?
Butanol?
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen. The rocket. I thought you meant from corn.
Oh,
corn,
no, for
nitrogen.
Corn.
Okay,
yeah, and the application of timely nitrogen on a corn crop can really increase the yield. Well, the timely pledge of a WILL supporter can really push this service to the next level. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. 41 pledges in, 159 to go for our $2,000 challenge.
Yeah, that's 217-244-9455. Please do pledge your financial support right now. It's really important to do that. Dave Dickey and I are very appreciative of all of your support. But we need it today, tomorrow, the next day, and Monday. That's at 217-244-9455. Please do pledge your support and do it now.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Have you done it yet? I hope so. 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brooks takes stock of her home food system in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
A few weeks ago, I was rummaging around in our basement when I found this book I'd picked up at a library book sale years ago, back when I was at home with my kids and learning how to garden and to do things with food besides eat it. It's a little-known classic. Well, I think it's a classic. Released by Rodale Press, that bastion of organic and DIY, back in 1981. I snagged it at the book sale because I wanted to try everything in it. pressing cider, sprouting grains. But 10 years later, it caught my eye again because of its title, Home Food Systems. We hear quite a bit about food systems, but the conversation almost always refers to the food system in its broader, larger sense. When you hear about the big food system, you're hearing people talk about the five basic components that make it up: production, processing, distribution, consumption, and waste management. Basically, everything's covered from seed to compost. It occurred to me that we can frame our own individual food systems, what we do in our own kitchens and how we do it, in almost the exact same way. We have food procurement slash meal planning as the equivalent of production, though procurement can include actual production like gardening, food prep slash cooking equaling processing, serving becoming distribution, eating equaling consumption, and cleanup serving as waste management. So I decided to have a look around my tiny kitchen to see what was going on with the Braltz-Kelly household's food system. Is my own kitchen a hotbed of excess and complication like our current big food system? Or is it right-sized and relatively simple, which is what the ideal local food system is like? Well, it's a little of both. My kitchen is small, so there's actually not a lot of room for what you might find in a larger kitchen. For food procurement and meal planning, we have a refrigerator and lots of cupboards for food storage. One of the cupboards, however, has food magazines, scraps of paper with recipes scrawled on them, and 25 cookbooks in it. How many of those cookbooks do I use regularly? Oh, about 5. And I have 50 more in the basement. However, a perpetual shopping list and a list of the week's proposed meals is affixed to the fridge, so we do okay there. For food prep and cooking, we've got a small cooktop stove and a wall oven. Counter space is limited, so any small appliances we have, like the stand mixer and the food processor, are kept in cupboards. The panini press we got as a gift and the yogurt maker I had to have for some reason, they're in the garage. There's a microwave, but it's in the basement. Its primary function is to warm up those rice-filled socks that keep my feet warm in the winter. We do use each and every one of our knives. They're within easy reach on the magnetic knife rack. Our cooking tools are quite easy to get to. For serving, that's distribution. We have tons of everything, and it's all really disorganized and embarrassing. Next. As for mealtime or consumption, we almost always eat together, but we don't have a large kitchen table. Sometimes we'll eat at the little one, but most often we'll eat picnic style in the living room. It's not ideal, but it's what we've got. Finally, cleanup slash waste management. We don't have a dishwasher, so the dish rack takes up quite a bit of counter space. We have not yet sorted out an efficient method to collect compost and recycling that works with our kitchen size, so it can get messy in there. The garbage can is way too big. We manage our waste, but do we manage it well? I'm not so sure. The preponderance of cheap dishes, glasses, appliances, trays, utensils, magazines, and books is, to me, rather similar to the preponderance of cheap food products we get offered to us every day. It strikes me that while we learn more about our food system and advocate for changes in it, it probably cannot hurt to do the same with our super local food system, the one in our home. I still haven't pressed cider, by the way, and I've never sprouted a grain.
Lisa Brott's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can also read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com. If you have an idea for In My Backyard, email us at willagstaff@illinois.edu. That's willagstaff@illinois.edu.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt here on the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Oh, hey, a few folks have been dialing in at 217-244-9455 with their pledge of financial support to the agricultural programming at WILL, things like the Closing Market Report, and at Illinois Public Media, the opening, pre-opening market report, the midday, the WILL ag.org newsletter, the website. Well, what else do we do, Dave? Oh, we have a great big meeting in March, and we have all those meetings at night. gosh darn, there's a lot that's happening, and boy, we hope that it's worthwhile. 217-244-9455. You've got folks to thank.
I do. I have a few people that have already pledged today during the closing market report, including Mrs. Marjorie Braum, Mr. Louis Aldag, Rennie and Charles Ehler.
Thank you.
Kent Staggs and Marvin Brad. You can be the next. 217-244-9455. Listeners, our agricultural audience is our most reliable source of income, and they do it because, Todd, they value the service, and it's their dollars that pay for the agricultural service here at Illinois Public Media. In fact, the majority of our operating budget for agriculture comes from the contributions of listeners who are listening right now. And so we hope that you'll support the programs that you listen to each day. Todd, you mentioned those. Join us right now by calling 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. 49 calls into our agricultural challenge, 151 more calls to go.
217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. If you have yet to dial that phone, now would be a good time to do that, to pledge your financial support to agricultural programming for Illinois Public Media. Really, we need your help. This program comes to you in part because you help to pay for it. And if it makes a difference, we'd like to have you do that, maybe at the $120 level, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. If you're online, you can pledge at willpledge.org. Otherwise, dial this number right now, 217-244-9455. Please do make sure that you let them know you're pledging in support of agriculture. As farm broadcasters, we know that you, the producers, the agricultural in the world, want two things from us primarily. The first one is you want to know about the markets, what they did and why they did it. We do a pretty good job of providing that information. Dave Dickey and I do. The other thing that you want to know is what the weather is like, and people like Pete Levitt, meteorologist, help us out with that each and every day of the week. Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. So what should producers and agriculturalists know about the weather forecast today?
Well, we've got some mild weather, that's the nice side of it, and we've got some wet weather, that's the not-so-nice side coming. We've got cool air working in today behind a cold front, and it'll be cooling off tonight, and temperatures will be down around normal tonight and get up into the 60s tomorrow. And then the showers start to move in from the west late tomorrow and on Saturday. Saturday, Sunday looks showery and thunderstorms, mostly in the central and northern portions of the state and adjacent areas of Iowa and Indiana. And then we finally start to clear out a little bit late Monday and start to cool off later in the week. Now, the temperatures will be running maybe 12 to 15 degrees above normal. So that means highs in the 70s, lows only in the 50s on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But the showers will be quite prevalent throughout, especially Saturday, Sunday, in those northern areas. Then it turns cooler later next week, and it'll look a little bit more like fall again.
I know you like to watch the wheat crop around the globe. We've been talking about it on the air during the weather segments quite a bit this week. What's your take on what's been happening in both the northern and southern hemisphere as it involves wheat?
Well, we have some slowness in the development of winter wheat, getting it underway because of cold, wet weather in Europe. So it's cool, it's wet, and that crop is running a little late. However, things are better when you get farther eastward into the former Soviet Union areas of Eastern Europe, Western Asia. Those areas look okay. The troublesome area that we see right now as the wheat comes towards harvest in the southern hemisphere is in Australia. Australia has one of those schizophrenic type of patterns they often have. The weather is just fine in eastern Australia where it's been wet and they've got very good rain for maturing crops. But in western Australia, they've been having drought, not unusual for a La Nina pattern that we're in, and this drought is really going to cut down yields in Western Australia. So that's probably the toughest area for wheat right now. In South America, the wet weather is finally taking care of most of the dryness in Argentina, and in Brazil, they've had some showers, so things there are looking pretty good as the winter crops mature.
Thank you so much, Pete, for being with us. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. If you can dial this number, 217-244-9455, please do, with your pledge of financial support.